This week's episode is brought to you by the Oblong Box Shop, featuring original vintage-inspired designs by Danielle Von Fitch. Because every day is Halloween at the Oblong Box Shop. Did you realize that there's actually a movie called The Oblong Box? I believe it's a Vincent Price movie, in fact.
Yes, actually I was.
And I believe it came from an Edgar Allan Poe tale. And they have everything, Joe. They've got tiki designs, all kinds of subgenre designs, Joe. You may not have realized this, but clothing has subgenres. They've got tiki designs. They've got goth. They've got retro designs. They have even a Halloween set that she brings out every year, limited edition sets of skirts or whatever that have a cool, authentic original design by Danielle Von Fitch. And there are men's shirts to go with those designs, Joe, in case you were wondering.
Will they even have sizes like for a big and tall guy like myself?
Oh yeah, Joe, you got your L's, they got your XL's, they got your double XL's. I don't even know. They might even have triple XL. I'm not sure. They have men's and women, everything you need, Joe. And Ms. Von Fitch actually just opened her new studio in Santa Clarita near Magic Mountain out here in California. So next time you're in town, people, and you want to go to the Ugly Mug and you want to go to Halloween Town and you want to go to Camp Horror and all the awesome Burbank things we've got, you also just make a little 20-minute trip up to Santa Clarita, stop by the Oblong Box Shop's little studio, and you're going to love it. So in addition to shopping online at www.theoblongboxshop.com, you can stop by her studio and shop in person. Her hours are 1 to 4, Monday through Friday, and some Saturdays. Check out her website, www.theoblongboxshop.com, for upcoming events and new product launches. And now, CineScare listeners get an extra 15% at theoblongboxshop.com by entering the code CineScare15. That's one word, CineScare15. Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And of course, joining us as he does every week since March is the wonderful super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me back. Joe, thanks for having me back. And happy 30th episode.
Wow, has it been 30 episodes?
Yeah, this is number 30 for you guys. And me, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's 30 episodes today, Mr. Joe. Can you believe it?
No, I never thought we'd get out of the aughts.
No.
Let alone the 30s.
That would only have been 9 episodes, Joe. That would have been pretty sad.
I have a whole lot of faith on us early on.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't understand the aughts. What's the aughts?
Zeros. Aught
would be...
Oh, zeros. 01, gotcha.
02, 03, yeah.
You're so smart.
You're so smart for knowing everyday things.
Hey, Zara Mahler said I was smart, so it's a running theme. Yeah,
she did. Smart, Joe.
I miss her.
Yeah. Do you still have that sound cue queued up?
Oh, I got it. It's like my new ringtone.
Very smart, Joe.
Smart, Joe. well, the last 2 weeks, actually, there's been a lot happened in the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you're aware of this, Joe, but Halloween was a little over a week ago, this past Sunday, and it was crazy here at my place. We had over 800 trick-or-treaters at my place. I was dressed up as Michael Myers, and we had people coming up taking pictures with me, and we had our 12-foot skeletons, both of them up, and it was crazy. It was fantastic. And Jimmy O actually even stopped by with his son and his wife.
God, you're like a regular Mickey Mouse of Halloween.
That's so cool. Like, Jimmy O showed up?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I told him that we had, you know, we were gonna, it was a big deal on my street or whatever. So he came by and we talked for a little bit, but yeah. So.
See, you're breaking records and here I am creating all these Halloween props and a huge cemetery in my backyard and hanging spider webs off the top of the garage. And I got maybe 50 kids.
You're on a cul-de-sac though, kind of out of the way though, right, Joe?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's not like it's easy to find, but still, you know, you go through all that effort, you'd like somebody to see it. So
yeah,
it,
exactly.
It seems like the kind of neighborhood that would get a lot of trick-or-treaters though.
You know,
it seems like families and whatnot up and down there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And were there a lot of other houses decorated?
No, there were maybe four or five in our neighborhood. Although we drove around later in the night, through the Quad Cities and we saw, I don't know, 10 or 15 total houses that were decked out pretty well. So,
yeah, we had quite a few on our, the people who live across the street from us did theirs up huge in this, like, it was like clowns and, everything was, it was like a graveyard, but it was all painted in fluorescent colors. It was very bright and like black light kind of thing, you know. Everything was very glow in the dark sort of thing, and the man, he was on stilts in a big clown outfit, and then they had a guy who was dressed up as Twisty. Is that the clown from American Horror Story season 3 or 4 or whatever it was his name? Twisty, I think.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, they had a guy dressed up as him, and their kids were dressed up as clowns. It was really cool. His wife was, I don't think his wife was dressed up as a clown. She was dressed up as something else, I think, like Sally or something like that from Nightmare Before Christmas. And then the neighbors across, you know, diagonal from us, they had theirs in this giant, like, graveyard with skeletons and stuff. It was really cool. And our next door neighbors had their yard all done up too. So, and up and down the street, there were several houses. So we attracted a lot of people in the neighborhood. So it was a lot of fun. It was a good Halloween for sure.
Joe, I saw your costume. Now, before you tell me what costume it was, let me take a guess. We're zombie apocalypse and you were, was it from Dawn of the Dead? Were you like a...
It wasn't that specific. We were having a Halloween party and the theme was zombies or, you know, virus breakout. And I was just one of those renegade police officers, not the incompetent ones, but the good ones that actually go around, you know, hunting and killing the zombies. So that's...
You had the syringes, right?
Yeah, and I had a bunch of patches and stuff on the back that said, like, you know, zombie crew and outbreak group and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, I didn't see the back of it, but yeah. I saw the front end, so you did a good job, because I knew exactly, I said, that's zombie apocalypse right there. Cool.
And I would like to thank the fine people in China from Wish.com that made that costume possible.
What?
You got it from Wish?
I got a flak jacket. I got
costume.
The tactical like shirt and the camouflage pants and the gun and like everything. All the patches and everything was from Wish.com. I just had to order it back in like August.
Well, you got lucky because a lot of things from Wish they don't look so great when you get them.
No, this was
fantastic legit
costume. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It looked good, Joe.
Yeah, and of course we had our fantastic promo with the Ugly Mug Coffee House that did the CineScare drinks, and it was mutually beneficial, according to Steve and Emily Nalbantian from the Ugly Mug. They had a lot. I know that when I went there the second weekend of the promo, there was a little girl who ordered hers CineScare style, and there were several people there ordering there, and I'm standing there in line listening to people say, I want the CineScare style, and getting their stickers and everything. I would just stand there like, yes. So it was fun. And but it definitely, we had a great month. The show is growing, and so we want to thank all of you out there listening and telling your friends about it. Please, 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 if you enjoy the show, rate us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use. We're actually on Facebook Podcasts now, though I'm not sure how you rate it. I didn't even know
there was a Facebook podcast.
That's yeah, I didn't know says. Either.
Is
yeah.
it
yeah.
meta? Is that really meta?
What does that
is it
mean?
Like meta podcast? Facebook changed their name to Meta.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, yeah. it's Facebook Podcasts, but it's I don't know. I'm not sure. It's really complicated how you link everything together. So I still have to figure out. I'm afraid that it might be linked to my author page rather than the Cinescare page, but I've got to figure that out.
I don't know. It looks pretty cool when you press play. It's got like the little background going and
oh, it does.
You know, yeah. It's got like this, like every time you talk, it kind of like vibes. It's got this like vibration thing going. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I've got to check it out. I know I get notifications that say a new episode, you know, the new episode is up on Facebook or whatever. And it usually comes about the same time it launches on, you know, nationally or whatever. So anyway, so in the last couple of weeks, of course, we do have a theme this week. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about what everybody has watched. I know we just finished Shocktober, so I didn't watch a whole lot after Shocktober, however, we recorded the Tuesday before Halloween, so that still leaves a few days that I did watch some movies. So I'll just start us off with movies I watched. On the 26th, I watched It Follows. It was a rewatch, and I had only seen it once. I'd never done a revisit on that one. It's such a good movie.
It's so good. It's so good, Matt. It's so good. Just the beginning when that girl comes out of the house, and it's the music kind of reminds me a little bit of Halloween. Like it goes mm-hmm. ding 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 ding. Oh, it's such a great beginning.
Yeah, it's definitely John Carpenter, you know, inspired, and it's a sort of a slasher in a way, but it's definitely an update on it. Not, I guess it's not really a slasher, but it's got that vibe because it's teenagers, you know, and they're having sex, and then they, you know, they'll die if they have sex. It's the same concept as most 80s slashers. It just doesn't go about it in a, there's no, you know, killer like Jason or Michael or whatever, but I loved it. I thought it was, I liked it even better on rewatch than I did the first time I saw it. It was really, there were so many cool scenes. Like there was a scene, for instance, where the main girl goes to a park and is sitting on the swings at a park, and she's just looking off into the woods and nothing happens there. But it's just that shot of the woods that are through trees looking into town or whatever. It's just got such a great setup for it. And if you think too hard about it, the concept is like, doesn't make a whole lot of sense or whatever, but it's not, you know, it doesn't need to be thought about like that. You know, you just take it for what it is on its own terms, but.
One question, Matt, because when people watch It Follows, like you think it's like, how can I get out of this scenario? So if you were in that scenario, say like you had sex with somebody and it's kind of like a disease where it's like now that person's on you. How would you get out of that? What would you do to get out of that scenario?
Well,
to survive.
I was having a conversation with my brother about this, my brother Scott, and he said, you know, ultimately, when you think about it, it's kind of the dumbest concept because all you have to do is like go to England, you know, and how long will it take that thing to get to it, you know? But at the same time, like, well, you can't have a movie where it takes 2 years for a creature to swim all the way to England or whatever. So it doesn't work in that way. And of course, who can just move to England? You know, you can't just move there. You can't just move overseas without, you know, and in the meantime, while you're waiting for your visa or whatever it is, even if you travel there, you got to find something to do. It's just not that easy. And it, of course, that would be a horrible movie too. Everybody like moves and
20 minute segment of you just sitting in the clerk's office waiting for your paperwork to go through.
And then really, you could do that about any horror movie. You'd be like, why didn't they, you know, on Halloween, you know, it's like, why don't they just drive out of town? Okay, but that kind of defeats the purpose of having a movie, you know, or in a haunted house movie, why don't they just move? You know, but if I were to do it, I don't know. I would probably, if I was in that scenario, probably do something like that, though, where I would find a way to move overseas and,
do you think it could actually swim or walk? You know, like, I know it walks, but can it go through the ocean? Does it just silently go through the ocean or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it would have to because it doesn't.
It didn't want to go into the water in the pool at the end of the film. So that's something to take.
That's true. Yeah. So moving to England, would that defeat it? I don't know. Yeah. But of course, you're dealing with a bunch of teenagers and they're just like, they don't know what to do. You know, I mean, we have the benefit of being the people watching the movie. They're in the middle of it. But I guess the solution would be just to have sex with as many people as you can. And then hope that they continue to do it. The one kid had the right idea. He had sex with a prostitute, right? And then the idea would be that she, the rest of the night, has at least a few more times. So then there's some buffer there. But aside from that, I don't know. Joe, did you have something snarky to say?
No, I did not.
Right, Joe's coming in hard.
But anyway, I love that movie, and I watched Castle of Blood, which was a 1964. I think it's Italian film about a writer. This writer accepts a wager that he cannot spend the night alone in a haunted house, a haunted castle, actually, on Halloween night. And then he can't make it through the whole night, and so once he gets there, he finds that the castle is haunted and that the ghosts there will interact with you, but they're kind of living through the same night that they died, and the same scenarios keep happening. It's a very interesting film. I thought it was really good. So I really enjoyed that. Castle of Blood was that one. And then and we had an airplane go over, but then I watched Let the Right One In, which was another revisit, and I love that movie. I just think it's fantastic. Have you guys seen that one?
Yeah.
Remake or the original?
The remake is called Let Me In, but no.
Oh,
the,
that's
the,
right.
The original Let the Right One In. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is,
I think it's a Swedish movie, I think, or something like that. And it's fantastic. I love that movie. And then I think Michelle had not seen it before, so we watched that. Then on the 29th, I didn't have a whole lot of time because we had it was my anniversary, and we had plans that night. So the only thing I was able to watch, I actually watched at school. We watched an episode of The Twilight Zone, which was Terror at 20,000 feet or whatever.
Feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
William Shatner.
I was able to blow the kids' minds telling them that that guy is Michael Myers. And they were all like, what? And so I explained that, you know, his face is the mask that they used for the Michael Myers mask.
Those kids didn't know that.
No, they didn't. Because Michael Myers is big right now because the movie just came out, they all were like, what? And then they were all sitting there watching it. And every few minutes, one of the kids would be like, oh, my God, it does look like Michael Myers. Look, you see him like that, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then on the 30th, I revisited Trick or Treat, which is a yearly tradition for me. I love that movie. Absolutely love that movie.
Never seen it.
Oh, my God, Mark. Yes. That should have been on your list. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's
I've heard it's good. It's just
it's an anthology.
Great anthology.
Anthology?
Yeah, I think it's the best anthology I've ever seen. And I love the way he does it because all the stories sort of
better than Creepshow?
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, I love it.
What?
It's my favorite anthology. I love Creepshow too, but that's how good this one is.
And oh,
it's,
damn.
It ties together all the stories. It doesn't really have a wraparound story. It's a bunch of stories that tie together, but they tie together in a similar way to like how Pulp Fiction ties together almost. You know, all the stories, the different people in each story interact. It's all set on Halloween night in this little town. And there's how many stories, Joe? Is it four or five?
It's four.
Yeah. And they all sort of interact with each other at different times. And each story is sort of told out of sequence. And so you get to see something happening in the background that was part of a story you had just watched. So it was really cool. I enjoyed it. And then something that happens in the first story doesn't come back until the end of the movie. You see what happened. And I think before next time you should watch it. Mark.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Great cast. And the story on that one is such a frustrating one to me because when I watched, I believe it was Halloween 6 on DVD or on VHS, actually. Maybe it was H2O. Yeah, I think it was H2O. They had No, it wasn't that. I can't remember now. Anyway, some movie that I watched, it was a horror movie. They had a promo on the DVD for Trick or Treat that it was going to be a big release and everything. And then it got shelved. Like the studio, for some reason, the head of the studio that wanted Trick or Treat gave it to Greenlight, moved on, I believe. I don't know the whole story, but I think he moved on and the guy who took over didn't like it. And so it got shelved. But because it had been promoted already and a trailer had been released and everything, there were a lot of people who were like dying to see the movie. And so eventually it was released, I think, in limited release in like festivals and stuff. And then it went straight to video. But it's amazing. It's fantastic. I believe there's always rumors that he's going to do a second part. But this director also did Krampus. That came out a few years ago, and I can't remember what else. I think he's done a couple things, but I think his name is Doherty, I believe. And he's done something that was surprising to me. If I can look him up real quick, let me see. He did Krampus. Oh yeah, Trick or Treat 2 is in development. Oh, he did Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Oh, so, no kidding.
Yeah.
I actually like that one.
So he's really...
Yeah,
he's,
but he also did... or he was a writer on X-Men 2 and a writer on Superman Returns, which was...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Superman Returns was horrible. X-Men 2 wasn't too bad.
Well, when he has complete control of his movies, he's a bit like a more brutal Tim Robbins. Not yet. No. Tim Robbins?
No.
No, that's the actor...
That's the actor. Who's the guy who did Sleepy Hollow and everything? Tim Burton.
Tim Burton. Oh,
he's like a more brutal Tim Burton.
Tim Robbins is Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption.
And then on Halloween night, I watched Poltergeist. So actually, we played it. I had a projector and we played it outside for the
during Halloween.
During Halloween, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So anyway. That was what I watched on my Shocktober. Joe, what did you watch for the remainder of that week?
I'll go quick because it's nothing we haven't handled before. But I watched the original Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. I guess I never really watched it that close and realized that Evil Dead 2, the first 15 minutes, is basically a summarization of the first one. Because it always kind of wondered why would Ash bring another girl to the same cabin in the middle of the woods and
it's
forget
almost
all
like
about
a
that.
It's like a reboot almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it is a and reboot.
It was because of the studio or the licensing or something. Yeah.
They didn't own the movie,
right? Yeah, he didn't even own his own movie. But so anyway, if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. It's a great trilogy. It's a must. And Matt, as you will attest, the remake of Evil Dead is fantastic as well.
Yeah, I loved it.
And then I was about to say Christmas Eve, on Halloween, I finally got around to watching the 1983 film Angel, which is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those boxes I always saw on the shelves in the VHS rental stores.
Is that marketed as horror?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Because of the fact that there is a serial killer in it who's killing all of these prostitutes in Las Vegas or Los Angeles. And it's about this girl who's a high school student by day and then a prostitute by night. And she's being chased by a serial killer throughout downtown Los Angeles. It's terrible. I remember having these big expectations of it when I was some high school kid. Like, I don't even want to rent this because if my folks see the cover when I bring it home, I'm going to get yelled at or something. So here I am, all grown up. And I watched this, and what a waste of time. So,
it's a great cover, though, Joe. I mean, I remember being like, it was back in grade school, whatever. You see it, it's like it's
split right down the middle,
and you got this schoolgirl in a uniform, like Catholic schoolgirl uniform, and then the other picture, she's freaking a prostitute, and it's hot. It's hot.
There's probably a similar cover in that same video store, but it's behind the beaded doorway.
Yeah.
You know, where all the adult films are. Right. That one's probably a better film than what I watched.
That's so funny, Joe, because I was going to watch that movie because I saw that cover on, I think it was TikTok. I was just going through TikTok and it showed up. I was going, oh my God, I remember that. And then Joe watched it. I was like, what a coinkydink.
Yeah, and, I saw it. Is it on Amazon or?
Yeah,
I saw it on one of the streamers that we're using.
So. I still kind of want to watch it. It's kind of on my to-do list.
Help yourself.
Wait, that cover, it's burned into my brain.
So, Mark, what did you watch?
Two movies I want to talk about. One is Vampire's Kiss from 1988. Have you guys seen this movie with Nicolas Cage?
No.
Yeah, long time ago. I probably saw it back in 1988, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. I know this is a cult movie. I know what I was getting into, but holy shit, Nick Cage is absolutely off rails here, and I believe he's off rails here because this movie came out exactly right after Moonstruck with all the Academy Awards, and so I think like the director didn't know how to say no to Nick Cage, but this is like the first film he really went off rails. And it's basically Jennifer Beals in it. He's basically an accountant who is bit by a vampire, who is Jennifer Beals, and he starts hallucinating that he's a vampire. And Nick Cage eats live cockroaches. It's nonstop. Nick Cage, he's just screaming. He tortures his secretary about finding some documents throughout, like, pretty much the whole entire movie. It's horrible acting, but it's so good that it's so bad that it's actually good. And I actually highly recommend watching this movie, Matt. It's a lot of fun to watch. And I can see why it's a cult classic. And then the last one I'm going to talk about is, and I'm going to be really vague about this because I know Joe really wants to see this movie.
Before you get to that, you did watch Night House. So
I did watch Night House.
We do need to talk about that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. It's how can I explain this? Remember that one movie with Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford, What Lies Beneath. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of that film.
I mean, a little bit. I guess that they're on a lake, but But it's like an art house version of that. But yeah, it's. I guess I can see that a little bit.
Yeah. But. Yeah. No. It's a great film. It's great acting. What's the name of that the lead actress's name? Gosh.
Let me look here. I've got it up here. When did I watch that?
She's fantastic. What I really liked about this
Rebecca Hall is
Rebecca
name.
Hall. But what I liked about this film is just like the art direction and just with the reverse of the house and how they did it and just the camera swooping around. Really, really good. Joe, what was that one part of the movie that made you jump?
When she goes outside to investigate some noises at nighttime and all of a sudden some people are running by.
Oh, okay.
Girls. Yeah.
Okay. That made you jump.
The one that got, I don't want to say too much because it was so shy. It was like surprised me, but it went in the theater. There was a jump scare that really was effective to me, and that was some music comes on at a certain point.
Loud. Okay.
And, So that I really love. So we can officially make this.
It's certified.
CineScare certified. Excellent.
It's certified. Excellent. Really, really good. Okay, so the last one is going to be Last Night in Soho. I'm going to be really vague because Joe hasn't seen this movie, and I know how much Edgar Wright's movies mean to him. I wrote it down, actually, so if it sounds like I'm reading something, I am, because I don't want to ruin it for Joe. But it's Edgar Stab, no pun intended, for the psychological thriller genre, and you might say. If you're familiar with Wright's work, such as Scott Pilgrim's Versus the World or Hot Fuzz and Baby Driver, you pretty much are aware of the detail he goes into with his films, especially with music and sound. Well, he doesn't let you down with this, with his latest movie. There are times when I got goosebumps when he involved music with haunting sounds that seemed to go in one eardrum and out the other. Some of Edgar's shots where he's always been known for are stunning, just like panning left and right and zooming in and out. Absolutely electric. Just the textures and the colors just pop at you. My daughter, Dylan, went with me because she's a big fan of Baby Driver and Scott Pilgrim Versus the World. And she did not know this was this kind of film. And she was covering her eyes a couple of times. And at the end of the film, she looked at me and she's going, "Dad, was that a horror film?" And then I looked at her. I said, "Yeah." And she says, "I loved it. I loved it." It's the soundtrack. Jimmy O last episode said that the soundtrack was better than Baby Driver's. I disagree. I don't think it is. But the music is so swelling and it just penetrates you in such ways that I'm buying the soundtrack, obviously. But this movie is a definite see. Go in without knowing as least possible. It's completely worth it. Joe, I can't wait for you to see this because it is an orgasm for the ears, Joe. And I know you love listening with your ears.
I love your orgasms.
Yes, yes. You're going to be oozing out. Oozing out of the ears, Joe.
I like listening with my nose.
I think I have leakage right now.
I'm telling you, Joe. Is it good? It's really fun to watch.
Excellent. And the only other thing I wanted to say is that I have been watching and I'm almost caught up. They had their series or season finale and I haven't watched that yet, but I've been watching American Horror Story for the first time in quite a while. And this is, I think, maybe the best season of American Horror Story that I've seen, and definitely the best in a long time. So it's worth checking out if you're into that. It's split into two halves. So a lot of times what happens with American Horror Story, and I think we talked about this when we talked about American Horror Stories, the series that was out this summer. But a lot of times what happens is that they kind of lose steam about midway through the season and they don't quite know what to do. They have a concept that works well for about six episodes and then if that, and then it falls apart and they don't know what to do the last six or whatever episodes. Well, this season is called Double Feature. So the first half of the season was one story and the second half of the season was a different story. So it was pretty good. I'm not done with the second half of the season yet. I like the first half better than the second half, but the second half's really good too. They're both strong. So definitely worth checking that out. And now that brings us to our theme for the week. And our theme is, and I'm wondering if Joe, I'm not going to put any ideas in his head, but I wonder if we're going to have the John Denver song. But what is it? Rocky Mountain High or whatever.
Yeah.
And it is the Final Destination franchise. And Joe, I know this was Joe's choice. We always take turns picking what our theme is. Joe, this was Joe's choice. But I want you to talk about why you chose it, why you love it. And so I want to set the scene a little bit, Joe. And that is, take me back, Joe, the first time you saw this. I'm thinking a little Joe in his footy pajamas, maybe staying up late. His mom and dad let him watch it late at night. You know, he's like, Mom, can I just stay up? Final Destination is playing tonight. Can I just stay up? Can you please let me stay up and watch it? And that was like your maybe your first like experience with horror or whatever, right, Joe?
I really hate to burst your bubble on that, but this came out in 2000. I was 27 when this movie came out. So
he's a grown man.
I was married.
Then the footy pajamas would be a little strange. And asking your parents.
Oh, I'm not. No, I still had footy pajamas, but I was grown up and moved out of the house and married. But yeah, you know.
Well, I guess asking your parents for permission to watch it then was probably not the.
No, anyway. I still do that. It's do? Yeah. Yeah, I was
Can
in
I
my
stay
own
up
house.
Tonight? Can I stay up tonight? Yeah. So, Joe, what
they
what
said it was
you,
okay.
This is your theme, so take it away, Mr. Joe Janz.
I saw this in the theaters for the first time when it was released in 2000. I thought it was a fresh concept, and little did I know how stale that concept would become over the next 11 years with five total movies in this franchise. However, I never got tired of it. There's that one movie where there's a group of kids and they somehow have a premonition of something terrible that's about to happen. And they coincidentally cheat death. And then death has a chip on his shoulder and goes back and tries one at a time to pick those kids off. That just summarized all five of the movies in the franchise. It's like that episode of Three's Company where there's a misunderstanding. You know, it summarizes absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But at the time when this came out in 2000, it was an original concept. And it was, honestly, I think the first one, I enjoyed it just because of the originality of the concept. However, after rewatching these five movies, the first one is by far my least favorite. Because I think it's because they spent too much time laying out the groundwork on what the rules of cheating death were and how you could go about beating it to stay within the franchise. However, once that was all established in the first movie, the sequels, they didn't even have to bother with that. So then it was just a series of how can we make more creative kills? How can we throw in some really great computer special effects and kill these kids in a more creative way. And I was like a kid in a candy store with this. They kept surprising me around every turn. Matt, you looked like you had something to say.
Do you have an order of your favorites?
I would probably say that I liked the third one the most. But that's just because Mary Elizabeth Winstead's in it, and I have a soft spot in my heart for Ramona Flowers.
I would have said the exact same thing. And not only for Ramona Flowers, but I like her in general in anything I've seen her in. I think she's great. I loved her in, what was it, Cloverfield.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead, why does that sound so familiar? Who is that?
She was in the remake of John Carpenter's The Thing. She was the main character.
No, I didn't see that one.
You've seen...
Well, she was in part three. You saw that she's the main girl in part three of Final Destination.
You saw Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Oh, that's her.
She's Ramona Flowers, yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, I'd say that probably would be my favorite one too, not just for her, but that's part of it. But I also liked the third one, I think, best.
Part three's both of your favorites?
Yeah, it's a three, James Wan one.
Was it James Wan who directed that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He did the first one.
It's not James Wan. It's James Wong.
Wong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He did the first one and the third one.
Yeah.
And then David Ellis did numbers 2 and 4.
Who was Jimmy's friend? Jimmy said that he had a friend who worked on this. What was his friend's name? Do you remember?
No idea.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that 3 would be my favorite. And then probably 5. Then 1. And then, I don't know. Probably 2.
So 5, because I remember when you finished 4, you said, all right, one more to go, and you're like, oh, boy.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm parsing it out a little bit. I'm just what my favorite of these. I honestly don't care for this franchise very much. I liked the first one okay when I first saw it, but I don't really care for the franchise that much, but I would say that, you know, if you asked me to put them in order, that would probably be my order. I think I didn't mind 5 so much, and I liked the way it ended.
Just to catch everybody else up at home, if you hadn't seen them, I've already sort of given you the formula for these movies, but the first one takes place on a airplane to France, and the airplane explodes. The second one, there's a girl that has a premonition about a highway accident that her and her friends are supposed to get on, and she dodges death there. The third one, it's a roller coaster disaster. The fourth one, of course, is the NASCAR event with the gargantuan car crash, which I gotta say, it's not my favorite. Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it is fun to watch.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
The last one is there's like a business retreat where all these people that work in the same office, they all get on a bus and they're about to drive over a bridge, and all of a sudden the bridge starts falling apart. So that's 1 through 5.
Yeah.
And they're all really, I mean, it's funny because normally franchises try to branch out and do other stuff, but really this franchise pretty much, I mean, they add a few little wrinkles, like 3 had the whole camera thing, and they had a few wrinkles, but generally it's the same exact plot every time.
I think it was number 3 that when they did the home video DVD version for the release, the DVD actually came with a choose your own adventure.
Yep.
So you could watch this movie as a choose your own adventure, and there would get to be certain parts in the movie where it would stop and it would ask you, do you want to, you know, get on the roller coaster, or do you want to turn around and get on a different ride? And you could actually choose with your DVD player which version you wanted to go see. And I mean, eventually there's no sequence that doesn't end up with everyone dying.
Right. But yeah.
It's still fun to interact.
I actually found out about that, and I actually bought Final Destination 3. It's right over there just because of that, because I loved Choose Your Own Adventure books. And when I found out about that, I had to get it. It was $3.99, so I had to get it. So, and I also bought the Final Destination 4 for $2.99. And because it had 3D glasses, and so I had to watch that in 3D, rewatching in 3D.
So the version that you got was in 3D.
Yeah, yeah. It came with the glasses. It came with 2 glasses, actually.
Did it work well?
No, it didn't. Yeah, it was one of those flimsy like paper ones with the red and the blue. Put it on. Something's a little bit popped out, but I mean, it just kind of changed the colors, and it was like CGI with the 3D. So it wasn't as impressive. I was upset about that, but I got Final Destination Part 3, and I'm excited to do the Choose Your Own Adventure because I love Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, the 3D. I bet, because that, what year would this movie have come out?
Which one? The part 4 part 3 came out.
Or which one was the one that you got part, that had the?
Part 4 came out with the 3D, and actually okay. Part 5 was 3D also.
So what year would those have come out? Let me look. Actually, I have it right here. Part 4 is 2009. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then part five is 2011. And that makes sense because that was around the time that Panasonic or Sony or somebody, they were trying to push 3D televisions, flat screen televisions. I think they were probably plasma screen at the time or whatever, but they were really pushing 3D at the time. And
it was right after like Avatar like came out, and that's when the 3D really started to like get pushed and all that. It's like, why not have Final Destination?
There were a lot of movies that had a 3D version, but then they started trying to push the 3D TVs, and it never really took off.
Oh, that's right, man.
You can't get a 3D television now. No. By the way. So
I don't know if you would want it.
I know. Yeah. No. Well, there aren't that many movies that are 3D that you can get anymore. So that was kind of a trend that was late 2000s, early 2010s, I think.
Oh yeah, Clash of the Titans 3D was phenomenal. It wasn't. I remember after Avatar and all the 3D movies came out, and my brother and I went to see Clash of the Titans, going 3D Clash of the Titans is going to be phenomenal. No,
you know what movie had a really good 3D? That was World War Z. It was a stealth. That was the best 3D. That was the best 3D I've seen.
Wait, World War Z was 3D?
They had it. You could, you know, there were certain movies you could get. You had to go to a certain theater, right, that had the 3D version. You could get it in standard, or you could watch it in 3D.
I had no idea, or else I would have seen that in 3D. Really? Did you see it in 3D? Or
and I did, and it was the best I've ever seen. I don't care
Holy
for 3D
shit.
Myself because I feel like it just distorts the picture too much for me. But that was the best I've ever seen. It was really fantastic.
Oh, my God. I wish I would have known that.
Yeah. Let's see. So, Mark, what would be your order of favorites of Final Destination?
Apparently, I'm in the minority because Part 3 was my least favorite. Actually, the Final Destination Part 4 was my favorite.
I think that was my least favorite.
But I kind of figured that. I don't know. It's the characters a little campy, a little bit over the top. But I really enjoyed the deaths in part four with the pool scene with his insides getting sucked in and out the thermostat. But I will say that part four with the race, the racing track scene, NASCAR was my least favorite of all the beginnings. That was my least favorite because that was just over the top. Some of the kills were kind of cartoony, but with the mall and the movie theater and it blowing up and everyone's wearing 3D glasses, I was just having a great time watching that film. That was my favorite.
Well, actually, Mark had a pretty good idea and I didn't do this because I really can't remember all the kills, but Mark wanted you guys to do a top, your, what was your
top five kills.
Top five, yeah, kills. Top five kills.
Joe, what was your top five franchise kills?
Actually, Mark already mentioned one of them. My number five is from Final Destination 4, which is the guy getting trapped at the bottom of the pool because the vacuum pump goes off the rails and just sucks him down and sucks his intestines out through his anus into the pump for the pool. That's my number five.
Yeah.
Mark, do you want to do your number five next then too?
Yeah. My number five is the gymnastics death win because it did just with all the, because what Final Destination is basically is, in my opinion, it's like a mousetrap board game. Remember the mousetrap board game where, you know, you get the marble and it would go down the chute and it would trigger other things and to catch the mouse at the end of the base of the board. I mean, that's what I always thought Final Destination to be. It's how, you know, these characters can be killed in different innovative ways, and I That's just, yeah, gymnastic destiny was great with the screw on the balance beam, and she misses it. And then, you know, I mean, just talk about, you know, like what really triggers Final Destination deaths, and that's water dripping, right? Like how many, yeah. How many deaths in this franchise started with water drippings?
Yeah, well, it's not just a mousetrap. It's a, they call it a Rube Goldberg machine, and that's what each of these is like they said. It's a Rube Goldberg machine is a whole chain of events that happens. Like you roll a marble down a trail that tips over a little guy that knocks over something else that spins a wheel, and then that knocks something else. And so a lot of the deaths are basically sort of a mini Rube Goldberg machine. But what was your four, Joe?
My number four was from Final Destination 2 when the sort of cocaine addicted guy gets sliced into a couple of pieces by a fence that had exploded out on the farm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was part four too, right?
Yeah. No, that was part five. Two.
Two?
Where yeah, the, it was part
and the
two.
Little squares of him go sliding out?
No.
Oh, it's the barbed wires, right?
The barbed wire fence.
Oh, yeah, yeah, went through.
When they were out on
the
farm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That was my number four.
That was your 4-2?
That was my 4-2.
All right, Joe, 3.
Okay, and then my number 3 is the gymnast from part 5.
There we go. All right, then my number 3 was the bus hitting the girl in the original, because that scared the shit out of me.
That would be my number 1.
That was your number 1? Believe it or not, that started off a trend for horror movies, that one scene, because they did a test reaction. You know, remember in the commercial, just going, you need to see this movie. And then there would be like a nightlight on the audience, and you would see the reaction, and everybody would be screaming and jumping. I believe that was the first one. Was in Final Destination. That's what really popped off this series.
Yeah, it's almost become a cliche now.
Yeah, know. Yeah. I believe Final Destination was the one to actually do that.
Okay, number 2, Joe?
My number 2 is from number 2. The kid, after he goes to the dentist to get his teeth worked on, he goes walking outside, and he scares a bunch of pigeons that are outside that fly up and shake a giant plate of glass loose and just crushes that kid on the... Oh, I've rewatched that scene more times than I care to admit.
Mark?
My number 2 is the log barreling down through the windshield in part 2. It's so graphic, and it's so well done, because it's the one with the sheriff. It's at the very beginning, and it's the huge log just going right through the windshield, and you just see a mist and spray of blood going through the back window. It's glorious. It's absolutely glorious. And it tell me that when you're like driving down a highway and you see one of those trucks with those logs, like, you don't get out of the way. I mean, it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah. No, I agree. Was that number 2?
Yeah,
that was number 2.
And Joe, you're number 1.
I'll put a drum roll in here, but my number 1, and this is new for me after rewatching all of these, my number 1 are the two girls in the tanning bed from part 3.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Just horrific. Oh, that's
not custom.
Yeah, I would
say having been in a tanning bed, yeah. I would that's say just that scary as hell.
I would say that the bus in part 1 would be number 1 for me, just because it really took me by surprise when it happened. And that kill, always, anytime I see it, it usually takes me by surprise, but it took me completely by surprise when it happened. But I would say that right very close behind would be the tanning bed kill.
I have been in a tanning bed after watching that movie. Yes, I've been in a tanning bed a couple of times. Every time I close that tanning bed, man, it scares the shit out of me, because it's what I always think about. It's like, am I going to die in that? My number 1 is the racist being dragged down the street burning alive. And
that was great. That cracked me up. Cracked me up.
It's my favorite kill because he's so over the top. It's the first time the N-word is in the film. And this is in part four. And I was just like, man, when he said it, I was like, man, that is so inappropriate. And of course, you know, a racist is inappropriate. And right when he said that, I was going, man, I can't wait for this son of a bitch to die. And when he dies, it's a really satisfying death. It really is.
All right. So, well, I guess that is all we have to say about that, about the Final Destination franchise. This is a light dive into Final Destination franchise.
Very light dive.
But
skimming the surface.
Yeah, but after the last two episodes, 2 hours each, I think we all needed a little break from the deep and hard. And I think we have a couple episodes coming up that are going to be a little deeper and harder. But that does...
What, Joe? Matt?
Well, I have a feeling I know what your next... You're the next one to pick, and I know what yours is going to be. And there's a lot of movies to watch in that. So especially when you consider all the sequels that they have. So it...
Lost Boys?
Going to be... Mark, I believe... Go ahead and say, what's your choice going to be for next time?
We're diving deep and hard in the Universal cinema of classic horror films. That means Dracula, The Mummy, The Wolfman, Bride of Frankenstein. Even them, probably. Giant Ants?
Young Frankenstein.
No, Joe. No, we did that. Because I'm really excited about that because I haven't seen hardly any of those films except The Invisible Man. So I'm very, very, very excited to go into this.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one. And I think we will have a lot of movie trivia to, or never mind. Anyway. Let's move on to the Final Destination trivia game that I have put together.
This is going to be so bad.
Now, Joe, I want you to know that these rules...
Yes, Matt.
The directions I have for this might be a little complicated, Joe. So what I'm going to do is this.
Do you have an Etch-a-Sketch that you could illustrate this out for us?
Speak and spell. That I've made.
I'll get it right now.
So what we're going to do this time is I'm going to read a question, and you guys chime in with your name, and whoever says their name first is the person I'll call on, and then you can answer, and if you get it, get it.
Hang on. So my name is my buzzer? Is that
your name,
we're doing it?
Your name is all right. Your buzzer, yeah.
And so you ask a question, and if I know the answer, I say my name. And then if you call on me, if I said my name before Mark says his name, then I get the opportunity to say what I think the answer is.
You bastards.
Yeah. And there will be no Old MacDonald Had a Farm playing or any of that kind of stuff. No.
I'm so not used to this, but let's give it a shot.
Yeah. I apologize for going deep and hard for the Halloween trivia. You guys scared the shit out of me saying you guys were masters of the universe. So I went deep and hard. I should have gone lighter.
It was fantastic, Mark. Was
I don't know that I could do this trivia without some sort of illustration or drawing, Matt. So,
but
we'll see what we can do.
You're going to have to try. All right. So Final Destination
I'm not
trivia.
Going 0-5.
Number one. The original idea for Final Destination.
Mark. The X-Files.
That is correct. Yes. The question was going to be the original idea for Final Destination was intended to be an episode of which TV show?
Let's go, baby.
Number two. Several of the characters in Final Destination were named after
Mark.
Yes.
Hitchcock. Right.
All right.
Okay. Okay. And Alex Browning was after the director of the original film Dracula, Todd Browning.
Okay, that's good. I was just going to ask for two.
Agent Shrek was Max Shrek from Nostradamus.
He's got all the answers written down.
I know. Nostradamus.
All right. Okay. We'll move on. You got that point.
Did you just give Mark all the questions in advance, or?
I did not.
He seems to have all the answers right in front of him.
I was ready to go deep and hard, man.
All right. So Mark has 2 points. Joe has one. Now, each of the next questions.
Did you just say I have 1 point?
No, he doesn't Mark have 1 point.
None.
He has zero.
Sorry. Or Joe has none.
No, I have two.
Yeah. Mark has two. Joe has none. Okay. But the next questions will each be worth 10 points. And they
what?
Will.
No,
I'm just.
No,
all right. Number three, the body count of Final Destination was what? The first one.
Mark. I'm not going to look at my notes because I already have it down. I think it's 287.
No.
God damn it.
Is this closest without going over?
Sure.
Then I'll say one.
You'd be wrong because it was 287 plus five. So it would be because there were five deaths, but 287 on the plane. So that would be 292.
Oh, yeah. 287 died on the plane. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Number four. How does the last person die at the end of Final Destination? One.
Joe.
Mark.
Joe.
A giant sign comes unhinged and knocks and kills him that way. Lighted
Hooray!
Sign.
Joe gets one. Yes,
I'm on the board.
True. Sign swinging down on him. Although we don't literally see him die, but
no, he does.
Name the artist and song that accompanies the deaths in FD.
Mark.
Mark.
John Denver, Rocky Mountain High.
Yes. Number six. The Stony Brook Institution Sanitarium that Clear places herself in part two, is the same sanatorium used in the opening of which movie?
Mark, five.
I didn't say Final Destination movie. I just said which movie?
Joe, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
It would be Halloween Resurrection.
That was my other choice.
Shit, really?
Yep.
By the way, the actor in part three was in Halloween Resurrection. The lead actor was in Halloween Resurrection, the one at the computer not doing anything.
Oh.
Yeah, a little nice. Tidbit.
Excellent. Right. Yeah. Number seven. Tony Todd, who appeared as a mysterious man in the coroner's office in the first two films, also appeared as an iconic character in which horror franchise?
Mark. Candyman.
That is right.
Is the answer Candyman?
Joe, you're on slow motion tonight.
No, he knew it.
I think there's a lag.
No, Joe knew it.
I thought you were going to ask me how many of the five movies was Tony Todd actually in.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
Wow. Okay, the next question could be worth 2 points if you get both, but if you get both of them. So, number eight, Tony Todd does not appear in part three. However, his voice can be heard
Mark.
In two scenes. Mark.
That would be in Final Destination 3. He was the announcer in the amusement park.
Where?
In the amusement park, he was he was the announcer. He was on the speaker, right?
For what?
For Final Destination Part 3.
I need more specifics.
Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
He was the voice of the devil.
Yes.
Shit!
And he is also the voice of the ride announcer for the roller coaster?
No, he was the devil on the ride and the subway.
Announcer.
But you get
right.
1 point, Joe.
Well, wait. I did the other one.
You didn't. You said he was an amusement park voice. You didn't say I wanted it. It was he was the name
it was
of
the voice was of the voice devil. Of
the devil.
Oh, son of a bitch!
The right. Devil. The fruits of the devil.
Got
That's it. Right. Number 9. Star of Part 3, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, also appeared in several other horror films. Name one.
Joe.
Mark.
Joe.
The Thing.
The Thing.
Yep.
Son of a...
She was also in Death Proof, Black Christmas 2006 version, The Thing, The Ring 2, and 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, I didn't know she was in Ring 2. Yep. No, I'll have to rewatch that.
Number 10. Name the precipitating event in each of the 5 films in order. You have 10 seconds. Joe. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
What?
That was the flight to France, the highway accident, the roller coaster, the NASCAR event, and the business retreat on the bus on the bridge.
Got it.
Are you... What?
That should be worth 5 points, actually.
That's worth 5 points.
That's not worth 5 points. No. You didn't say it was
Joe
worth 5 points.
Joe is ahead 8-5 now.
That's not true. That's not worth 5 points. No. And how did Joe just automatically just know that?
I'm a fan of the movies, Mark.
No, this is rigged, man.
Actually, Mark, if you remember about 10 minutes ago in the podcast, I said as like a recap to everybody what those events were. Do you remember that part? Were you on the air with us?
I don't know.
Number 11.
Wait, what's the score?
Joe is ahead 8-5.
Are you kidding me? Go, let's go. Let's go.
Number 11. Having trouble keeping it together now. Oh boy. Number 11. What is the number on the car that crashes on the speedway?
Mark. 67?
No. Joe.
Is it closest without going over?
No, it's not.
Uh, 68?
Well, you are closest without going over. It would be 666.
No.
Was it 666? Okay.
Number 12. Which is the only Final Destination movie without a digit in its title?
Mark.
Joe.
Mark.
Part 4, The Final Destination.
Yep.
No. Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then the last question. Alex Browning survived the first movie, but did not survive.
Mark. I got it.
Go ahead.
He did not survive. He died from a falling brick.
Very good. Excellent. That is the end of our trivia. And the winner is Joe, 8-7.
This is bullshit.
That concludes our broadcast day.
Mark has left the table. He's no longer here.
It's freaking rigged, man. It's freaking rigged. Get 5 points for that.
Good job, Mark. Unfortunately, I was not able to get any prizes this time. But next time, I promise you, there will be a prize. We'll do a rematch. Next time for your Hollywood movie or Universal Movie Monsters.
No, we're not doing another one. I don't want
to. Mark, if it helps at all, you're the first loser.
Yeah. Nobody lost ahead of you.
Yeah.
Of all the losers, you came in first.
You came in first. Yeah.
You guys, that's true.
Well, that does it for another week. And please check out our sponsor. The oblongboxshop.com. Please check out our sponsor. She has all kinds of clothes on her website that you're going to love, especially if you're a female. There's a lot of women's clothes. There are men's shirts and there's t-shirts and things like that too, but there's some great women's clothes, great women's fashion, especially if you have a bit of a hip aesthetic, as we say
Hey, Matt, is there any way I could get some sort of discount at the Oblong Box Shop if I order online?
Yes, Joe. All you have to do is type in Cinescare 15. That is Cinescare, the number 1, the number 5, and you'll get 15% off at the Oblong Box Shop. So please go there. Theoblongboxshop.com is your final destination. Ooh, you see how I tied that in, Joe?
Wow. Wow, that was amazing. Yeah.
I want to thank you all for, like I said, telling everybody about our show and helping us grow this MF-er. It's been a good ride, and October was a fantastic month for us. So please, please, please keep spreading the word if you enjoy this show. So I guess until next time, we will see you later.
Good night, everybody.
It's rigged. Everything's rigged. Well, I was ready to go deep and hard, man. Yes! 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 Let's go, baby! Yes!